Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
At this hour, there are reports from around the world describing strange occurrences at literally thousands of cemeteries.
For years, we've heard predictions of a great event to come. Everything around us points us to that day. Earthquakes, wars, and famine, and we watch as millions die. Still everything will be alright, we say. As it was in days of Noah, just before the coming flood, the warnings we have heard yet not believe. But our unbelief won't stop the coming judgment hand of God, nor unseal the fate of those too blind to see. As the end of time approaches, people wonder what's ahead. The prophecies have spoken, we have all heard what they've said. There will come a generation that the midnight hour finds. On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind? On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind?
For the latest on these strange cemetery disturbances, we go live to our own John Richardson. John, this is very unusual. What's happening this morning?
Stephen, reports from the cemeteries around the world, as well as the cemetery I'm right across from now, indicate a bizarre phenomenon taking place. The best way I can describe it is that specific grave sites, not all, but some, literally appear to have been opened from the inside out. Government officials, as well as private citizens who have been investigating these events, report finding no remains of any kind. One official, speaking off the record and wishing to remain anonymous, said, "It's as if no one was ever buried." Steve, I am a born-again Christian, and I may get fired for saying this on the air, but the only explanation I can give you is that we have always been taught that Jesus Christ would return and that one of the signs surrounding his coming would be a resurrection, if you will, of born-again Christians who had died. As a believer myself, I have no other explanation for these events. Back to you, Steve.
Well, I'm not a believer, John, but everyone is entitled to their opinion as to these events. John, hold it right there. I'm going to send it back to you while we check on another breaking story. Now, whether the two stories are related, I don't know. Reports are now pouring in worldwide concerning the disappearance now of living human beings. John, while we gather more information on this latest breaking story, we'll send it back to you. John? John? Are you there?
On that day, will you be ready, or will you be left behind?
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight our topic is going to be about wisdom. And remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 to join in the conversation. We want to thank you for joining the show tonight. First, we want to mention that a dear friend of Bill's, going back to when he was a teenager, suffered a loss during the 4th of July. Sister Taylor was one of his teachers in Christian school and was a mentor to many of the teenagers. During a ban on fireworks, a neighbor was shooting fireworks and set the grass on fire at their home, and they took no regard that the fire was heading toward the other homes across the field. Sister Taylor lost everything, her home, her car, and all her personal possessions. And anyone wanting to contribute to her situation can contact us for more information. While Bill may call in tonight, if work allows, but tonight you're going to be blessed again with a hot topic of wisdom by Sister Bobby Lively. As a teenager, Wild Bill picked up a saying, "A little knowledge is a dangerous thing." We'll find out if that applies to the Bible and to the spiritual man. Well, hello, Sister Lively. How are you doing? Or Blog Talk Mom?
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Okay, that's good. My phone is it's not as wise as I am. It's as old, I think, but not as wise. Well, Sister Starla, I appreciate you for giving me this time. I think before the program started, there's a couple of people, lady ministers, that may call and give some excellent words of wisdom to us. It seems like the older you get, you want to tell everybody how not to make the same mistakes you made or I've made, because with knowledge, we can, like Wild Bill was saying, you can get knowledge and you can get puffed up, the Bible says, with all the knowledge that we get. But with knowledge, you have to have understanding, and then with understanding comes wisdom. And there are definitely a process, and it's three different steps, and you can go back and forth with them all the way through life. I know a long time ago, someone was old enough to get a car and get some ability to race a little bit. And you know how when you can really slam down on the gas and spin your wheels and, you know, all of that, leave those black marks all along the road.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Funny. But after a while, when you have to buy the tires, you gain wisdom. It's not just funny, it's not knowledge. So that's really maybe not a great illustration, but we learn that there are consequences, and we learn that if we make the right that it's much better for us and for others. But I remember when I first began to live for God, and it was many years ago, that I would get self-help books, and I would read them because I knew I really desperately needed them. And I would read them, and I would think, well, wow, if I could do that, I wouldn't have to be reading this stupid book because it would give you 10 steps, and I couldn't do any of them. But when I went to the Word of God, and I began to seek God with all my heart, I remember distinctly, I would get the word, I would go sit out on our carport, and I would begin to read, and there would be a transformation take place in me. It was I perfect? Not by a long shot. But each time, back to the little metamorphosis of the woolly worm, each time I would grow inwardly, I was able to take care of the things that were external in a much better way. Was I still perfect? No. Am I now? No. And to those that would be listening today, in my years of counseling, I cannot tell you how many times people tell me I've lost confidence in myself. Nobody else has confidence in me. I have fallen. I have failed. But if there's one thing, one thought, one word of wisdom is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He said things like, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He gave us scriptures that are handed down to us that if you fall down, one of our ministers Sunday morning gave such a wonderful illustration. The Word of God says if you fall down seven times, get back up. You know, the righteous man falls and fails, but get back up. But Brother Stu was preaching and teaching, and he said, you know, if you play ball, it's three strikes and you're out. You know, one, two, three, you're out. But with God, it's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, as high as you can count, because God is there when we look up to him. And I believe Sister Kaiser is going to give a wonderful illustration about that later on, so I won't necessarily go into that right at this point. Did you have something to read there? I sent you something. I don't know if you got it. Did you, Sister Starla?
No, I didn't get it. I didn't.
Okay, I'll read this, and if you'll get Psalm, the first chapter, and it's six verses, and in a minute, will you read that for me, please?
Psalms 1?
1:1-6. The okay. Bible says in Psalms 1 that a person who meditates on God's word will be blessed. Now, a lot of times, I think Keith Green made some of the most wonderful songs, and he said, we just come to God and bless me, Lord. Give me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And that's okay, because he is our Heavenly Father. He is our source. But blessed is a much deeper, more profound, more supernatural word than we can even comprehend, because God says, I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And through the years, we have testimonies of so many people, like what you were talking about earlier, this request, and others. I went to the hospital today with a gentleman that went through surgery, came through beautifully. But, you know, how can something that hurts and something that takes away and something that discourages and seems so dark still be blessed? Because God has given us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together. And we quote this. I can't get through any message without it, with the Lord giving it back to me. Because so many times in my 72 years, I would go to the Lord and so confused and so bewildered. And he'd say, all things work together for your good. If you love me, then you keep my commandments. And that is an absolute fact. And whoever's listening, whatever we go through, whatever pain you're feeling, it didn't say just that you're going to be perfect and everything's going to be like, you know, we want it to be. But we do have the hope and the promise. And I love that song that we had at the very beginning of being taken. He said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape. And God has made it a way for us, a way that is so beautiful to come into his presence every day and fellowship with him. And the greatest wisdom is to do that, is to take the time to do that. And Sister Charlotte, if you will read those scriptures, please.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Well, thank you very much. Those are beautiful scriptures, and we have a clear pattern and a plan that we can apply to our life. It will ensure us to be that blessed person. It's our part and God's part. We can't do his part, and he won't do our part. When I looked up an article on the tree that's planted by the water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and all of us are in different seasons in our life. It changes from one time to another. I may be in, as the Solomon said, it may be a time of joy, it may be a time of great grief. And it changes back and forth. But in every season of our life, God has provided for the Spirit of God that dwells within us. He has provided for us to bring forth fruit in that season. And through the Spirit, which is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, these things, God knew what he was doing when he illustrated it to us by saying it's fruit. Fruit does not grow immediately. It is a process. The people will just stay by the water, by the source. This tree that's planted by the water, water is its source. It gives us minerals. It gives all that it needs to grow and to be strong. The closer it is, the closer it is to the source. When we live for God, the closer we stay to his word. And by the way, the word of God right now, well, we're blessed to have, maybe we do a program sometime on the different versions of the word of God right now, not to be negative or bash anything, but the more pure the word of God is, the more it will do for the spiritual man. Some people say, well, it's so much easier to read the other versions, and it amazes me that we're supposed to be this wonderful, intelligent generation. And we are, and the media and all of the things we can do, but yet we can't read the King James Version of the Bible. And one of the lessons that I teach is the hundreds of things that they have taken out of the King James Version that pertain to the blood of Jesus Christ, and things that are very, very pertinent, and some of them are very simple that I don't understand. So we need to stay so close to the word of God that when something comes that is unclean or unpure or it's been changed, that we will recognize that. That is our responsibility. If someone brings me a drink of water in a restaurant and I see a bug in it, I'm not going to drink it. Now, maybe if I was somewhere where there wasn't any other water, I'd probably get the bug out and drink it. And there are places and situations that I use different versions of the Bible for study help. I use it to amplify, the amplified version, but we should always compare any and everything to the King James Version of the Bible. And I always want to mention that because I ran into so many discrepancies that would pollute the source, and that God has warned us about that many times. That's another subject. But we're going to talk about wisdom in the sense of godly wisdom, not man's wisdom. There is an intelligence, there is a wisdom. What we find in the educational system, especially, that there is in teaching evolution, they teach that it is so contrary to creation that the Bible in Genesis said that in the beginning God created, and then it tells when he created it, how he created it. And it was by his word. Again, we go back, if we're going to have wisdom and man's wisdom, we're going to go by the word of God. And it is such a beautifully profound source that you can't mix it with, you can't have a half-truth. You can't have good and bad coming out of the same fountain. And so wisdom is knowing God and knowing him according to his word. And I'm going to see if someone... The several had said they wanted to call in, so I want to back off. Sister Starla, maybe Rob Will would want to call and say something, or one of these other ladies.
Well, Wild Bill, I'm going to put you on the air. Hello, Wild Bill.
I'm out breaking.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm really enjoying this lesson today. You know, there's a lot of things that come to mind. I was remembering how when I was younger, people used to always say that youth was wasted on the young. As a young person, I thought that was one of the stupidest things that I ever heard. And then, you know, I got to thinking, well, you know, what can you turn around, you know, to, you know, the people that are a little older to kind of put them on the spot a little bit? And it kind of goes along with what I'm saying there. But knowledge sometimes is wasted on the older. and it goes back to a little knowledge of the thing. You know, we have all these things we can look at, and I think we all forget sometimes that we're all in the same boat. And we're so busy, you know, pointing fingers and looking who to blame and looking what's wrong with somebody else and taking parts of Scripture and wanting to apply it to others and taking other Scriptures and wanting to apply it to ourselves. And it goes back to what Blog Talk Mom says. When we go back to realize that the key to everything is that our salvation was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And the beginning part of that is to believe that. To believe that with everything that's within us. There is no magic formula. There's nothing we can recite. There's nothing we can do because there was nothing we could ever do. It was the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus on that cross that we have to depend on and believe, because we're going to be judged by every word and every deed that happens on this earth. And if it's not covered under the blood of Jesus, we're all going to have an accountability that we're going to have to stand up for. And I just wanted to throw that in there. Just wanted to thank you, Paula, for carrying this topic tonight. And I'm really excited and looking forward to what else you have for us.
Now, Sister Starla, I don't know if
yes.
I mentioned, I had this saying, I don't remember where I heard it. Experience comes from what we've done, and wisdom comes from what we've done badly. I didn't say it, it's worth saying again. If we continue to do something after we have done it badly, then it's more grievous than if we have just stumbled. And just, you know, as I mentioned in Proverbs, where a just man falls seven times and rises up again. You know, if you stumble, if you fall, but if you do really know and you willfully turn the other direction, it's a lot more damaging. The scripture, I think it's in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, talking about continuing and learning, and we have a responsibility to examine the doctrine. I had a scripture here, if I wrote it down. Here it is. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and shun profane and vain babbling, because they increase and the more ungodliness. So that's the point is, if wisdom, just pull away from that. You don't stay involved in that. We have a right to choose the environment that we're in. That tree that it's talking about in Psalms 1, it wasn't out in the middle of the desert. It wasn't, its roots weren't exposed. That was where it was planted to bring forth that fruit in its season. And so I want to stay as close to God as I can. I want to stay around people that love God. Does that mean I'm not going to do evangelistic outreach? Of course not. But you don't, as I love to say, and as Dr. Shield said, you can't pull somebody out of a ditch if all four of your wheels are stuck down in the mud too. So you've got to go ahead and live for God, become strong in His Word, follow His commandments, and then they're not grievous. The Bible says they're not grievous. There's another illustration. I think, here it is. There was I've heard this before, but it's really good. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal with the surest means of attaining it. And that's three things there that I'm going to see the goal. I'm going to recognize which way, it's a straight and narrow way. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Bible says, that leads to the Lord, and a broad way that leads to destruction. So I've got to recognize myself and admit it, and then choose to go the right way, and then choose which is the best way to do it. Is it laying up and not attending services? Because I am so tempted at 72. I should be laughing. But I tell you what, sometimes I think I'll sleep in this morning. And every time, because Dr. Shield taught me, he said, now you can miss church for one reason. And I said, what is that? And he said, if you're dead. So he put it in me to attend service. But that's the services that I think, wow, if I had missed this. So it's back to the spiritual warfare. It's back to having wisdom to recognize that we are in a warfare. There is an enemy that is pulling and pushing and trying to deceive. He's been doing it for years, and he's still doing it. Okay, I have someone trying to call me, but I think I can ignore it if it doesn't. I'm going to read this. The automaker Henry Ford asked electrical genius Charlie Steinmetz to build the generators for his factory. One day, the generators ground to a halt, and the repairman couldn't find the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines for a few hours, and then threw a switch. The generators whirred to life, but Ford got a bill for $10,000 from Steinmetz. Flabbergasted, the rather tight-fisted car maker inquired why the bill was so high. Steinmetz replied, well, for tinkering with the generators, it was just $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990, so Ford paid the bill. Now, what is my point? God has given us intricate, wonderful, supernatural tools that we can use. If we don't use them, we have no excuse, because we're going to approach things every day, situations in our life, our children's life. And I'd just give anything if I could get another chance at raising my children, because it reminds me of a story of this man had a dog, and he loved the dog. And the man came over to visit him, and he looked around on all of the bottom of the chair rungs where the dog had cut its teeth. You know, he'd be the teeth marks all around on all the chairs. And I feel like I look at my children sometimes, I think, ugh. I was cutting teeth on them, but that's forgiven me, so we're gone with that. But God gives us the power to know the right way to reach the highest goal. It is an individual opportunity to learn and approach the Word of God, and it is so wonderful. I tell this every time I teach, but when we put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It will cut up and down, sideways, and both ways. It'll trim our limbs, and it will come against the powers of darkness. It's so wonderful, so awesome. And when we think of the people that have given their lives so that we can have this great wisdom and that we can only get from the Word of God, it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to have that the Word of God. In Psalms 111 and 10, you need to interrupt me. You just say, I've got a caller, and I'll be quiet.
Okay.
In Psalms 111 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this is not a spooky fear. This is absolute reverence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. The fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Understanding that he is the source, he is the door. There's not any other. And if anybody tries to climb up any other way than Jesus Christ, the Messiah, then they are a thief and they are a robber. Thus says the Word of God. Proverbs 3 and 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. He will not wrestle things out of our hands. He gives us the Word. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us the plan. He gives us his love. And then it's up to us to apply these things and use them for his glory. Proverbs 11 and 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I haven't won hundreds and fifties and whatever. I don't know. I hope I've been an influence in people's lives. But the one thing, yes.
I believe Sister Kaiser.
All right. I'll just turn you
on. Sister Kaiser?
Go ahead. All right, go, Sister, tell Sister Lively to finish that. I was enjoying that.
Well, finish that, Sister Lively.
All right, I'll finish that point, and she can go right from there. But I was saying that the ones that I have won to the Lord that I know that I was an actual part of teaching them and them coming to the Lord and to the church, they have been such a blessing to me, Sister Starla. I mean, at times, Christ is in my life. They have been the very ones that have just been so rich and blessed me in such a way. I want to
I can't hear anybody.
Oh, we can hear you.
Okay, well, good. I was just so engrossed what Sister Lively was saying. I was just enjoying it all. I had somebody wanting to ring my doorbell, and I'm trying not to answer it, trying to get on here. But anyway, I'm thankful to be here with you again. And, my Sister Lively, you should just went ahead and finish it off. But I just want to cut. I'm not going to read the whole scriptures, but I want to read like Genesis 18:14. The Lord said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" You know, I just came home, just got back a few moments ago from jail service, and there are people who are in that jail. I mean, it's all women, and it's grandmothers, grandmother that is what, like, you know, 65 and 70 years old. And they got desires, and they've got needs, and they've got wants. But, you know, the Lord said there's nothing for him to do. But I told them, I said, there's something we all need to do for the Lord. But someone helped me do this. In fact, it was Sister Bobby Lively. I went to jail service, and I didn't have anything inspiring. But I reached back into a folder I had in my van. Let me just share this with you. If you put a buzzard in a pen that is 6 feet by 8 feet and is entirely open at the top. Now, this is a buzzard. The bird, in spite of its ability to fly, will be an absolute prisoner. You know what? I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost sets us free from the chains and things that have bound us in the world. And I'm just going to make those comparisons, if you don't mind. Because Satan would like to make us an absolute prisoner to everything and everybody in the world. But the reason that a buzzard always begins, he can't just jump. He has to have a runway from either 10 to 12 feet. In other words, you got to have to run down like an airplane. You got to run down the runway, then pull that thing up and go higher. So the buzzard cannot do that without space to run. It won't even attempt to fly. Think about that. That big, majestic bird, the buzzard. We know the buzzard, though, is in the eagle family. But an eagle has a higher and a greater pedigree than a buzzard. So that buzzard will stay in that cage with no top on it and be a prisoner for life in a small jail with no top. Isn't that just how the devil wants to do this, the whole human race? Keep us in a little mental state or mental cage or a mental jail cell. And to thank God for the truth that has made us free. The Lord said in Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Excuse me. And he shall bring it to pass. And just commit your way to the Lord. That's what we need to do tonight. Just commit our life to him. I sure don't want to be a buzzard, and I don't want to be like a buzzard. I like having the joy of the Lord. You know, I've been in many, many services in my life, and we've had some services that all services are good, but there have been some that have been exactly exceptional, and I just can't let you know how. I can't even tell you how wonderful some services are, but there are the moments when you go into church, you think, well, what's going to happen tonight? I'll tell you what, it's best when everybody is participating. I say, well, we had a good service, didn't we? Yes, because everybody was doing something. Everybody was together. Everybody had the same mindset. Everybody was hoping for a word from the Lord, a blessing, or teaching. And all that happens when we all come together like that, if that makes any sense to you. So I'll leave the buzzer alone. There's a little small bird called the bat. The ordinary bat that flies around at night, it is a remarkable nimble creature in the air. But I'll tell you nothing about the bat. They are full of radar. They can fly. They said you're blind as a bat. I don't know if they're really blind or not, but I know they cannot take off from that level place, just like the buzzard. They can't do it. So this bat, if it's placed on the floor or on the flat ground, all they can do is shuffle about helplessly and hopelessly. That's how the devil would do to his cohorts. He just spins them round and round, going in circles, doing this, doing the same old thing all the time. You've heard the old saying, if you keep on doing the same thing the way you've always done it, you always get what you've always gotten. So we are changed by the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And the devil wants to drag us down and throw us down and leave us helplessly for we can't hardly get up. But not that the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene in our dilemma and on everything that goes wrong in our life. And so no doubt people have painfully problems, you know, that are in their life. But this little bird, after a while, after until it reaches a certain elevation, then it can throw itself into the air and take off in the flesh. It's a hit. But you know what? One of these days, we read about in the last days, and the trumpet of God's going to sound. It says, it talks about the church being raptured. We won't have time then to go to the altar. We won't have time then to go to church. We won't have time then to repent. But I'm talking about when we really, really get into it with like the Lord wants us to, it will be a blessing in our life. This other little animal is called the bumblebee. A bumblebee, if dropped into an open tumbler, will be there until it dies, unless somebody takes it out, because it never sees the means of escape at the top. How many times in our lives have we had things coming against us and we couldn't see an end to it? We couldn't see the sense of it. We couldn't understand it. So that little bumblebee feels just like that. You know, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I just need to get out of here. But it still persists. It just never gives up. That's one little thing we can learn from the bumblebee. It never gives up. They said the bumblebee, scientists would say, it cannot fly. There's no way it can fly because it's got a little bit of legs. It's got a big body. Hey, but God designed and created that bumblebee. So no matter what the scientists say, whoever it was, whatever, they don't know. So this bumblebee just seeks a way to where there is no way and until it's completely destroyed itself. Well, we're not to destroy ourselves, but we know one thing. The Lord does want us to do the very thing that bumblebee did. Just keep on trying. When times are tough, just keep on trying. When you're sick, keep on praying. Keep on trying. When you think you can't make it, keep on trying. You will. And this little part talks about people. In many ways, we are like the buzzard. In many ways, we're like the bat and the bumblebee. We struggle about with all our problems. And all our frustrations, never realizing that all we have to do is to look up. If that buzzard would just look up and see the sky and feel the wind, I guarantee he'd be out of there. But we, as human beings, we struggle about with all our problems. We all do. I'm including myself as well. In frustrations and never realizing that all we have to do is look up. Thank you, Jesus. Just look up. That's not the answer. That's the escape route. And the solution to any problem is just looking up. Because sorrow always looks back and worry looks around, but faith looks up. So I'm just thankful that the Lord has got it all in control about everything. Faith looks up, and we need to live simply and love generously and care deeply and speak kindly and trust in our Creator, who does love us. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate His goodness. If I look like I'm kind of like in a rush and not with, I just came from a very strenuous jail ministry, and we're just glad to be a servant of the Lord. So, Starla, somebody?
Yes. That was good.
Oh, bless you.
That was really good. I appreciate you, Sister Kaiser. I know that it was very strenuous for you to leave that service. I've been there before, and then to come and help us with the program tonight. And I do hear what you're saying, because all of us, we're human. We're not, we got characteristics like all three of these little creatures that you mentioned, like you said. And of all the things that the Lord has spoken to me in the last few days is that God's people just really don't realize, or God's creation does not realize how much He loves us. And He does love us. And He, His love, how great, how majestic, how wonderful the love of God, how pure and how powerful the love of God is. And the wisdom it would be to take hold of that nail-scarred hand and let Him lift us up out of whatever it is, whatever problem that we're going through. One of the stories that I've always enjoyed teaching, and it's not a child, just a child story, but it's the wise man and the foolish man. Now, I'm hearing a lot of static. I don't know if
Well, I had opened Wild Bill's mic. There it is.
That's better. That's
Wild
it.
Bill. Anyway, he had his hand up, so I thought I'd just open his mic and, you know, let him wait, but he's got a lot of static.
I would love to hear. The program, you and he have blessed my soul. I'm so thankful for what we now call for Blog Talk Rhonda Joy, for all the work that she did at the very beginning and the suggestion for this program, because it has been such a tremendous inspiration in my life personally. I love the song that you did at the very beginning and the words that Wild Bill said. But I was sharing about the scriptures that we have about the wise man that built his house on the rock, and the rains came, the floods came, and it was able to stand. And if we build our life any other way, then it's on the sand. And the Bible says there's the wise or the foolish. And I don't want to be foolish. I want to choose to be wise and build my house, build my life on the Word of God and on the foundation and upon Him, upon the true gospel of Jesus Christ. James 2:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, with that truth, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wow. That's something to desire to attain in each one of us, and it is available to us. Here's some little sayings I had. Is there anyone else that you need?
Yeah, Wild Bill.
Okay.
You're on.
Hi,
hello?
I was trying to switch phone because we went through a bad thing. I'm up here around Indianapolis, Indiana, and a lot of interference, but you know, one of the keys to wisdom is to realize that it's not our wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. You know, when you think about Daniel and the lion's den, wisdom would say, hey, I'm not going to do something, so give me some of the lion's den. And when Jesus was walking on the water, wisdom would say, I can't walk on the water. But when Jesus says, come, we can walk on the water. And, you know, a lot of times, we want to get practical with the things of God. This is
well, I guess we lost Wild Bill. Blog Talk Mom?
We're going to have to tape him and have him.
Oh, he must have gone through a dead spot.
There's some sayings that I just thought were neat that we could, I like little one-liners. If God is your co-pilot, then swap seats. And just talking about wisdom, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. If you don't like the way you were born, try being born again.
That's good.
I know.
These were real cute. When I was listening to you, I thought, well, this will, I'll share this. How will you spend eternity, smoking or non-smoking? I thought that was a little nice. If you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows you to turn. You like you. Okay. Feed your faith, and doubt will flourish to death. I was hoping, this is to me, one of the most profound one-liners that I've ever heard. Stars, and we all have stars, these fallen or whatever, but I'm talking, I think, very emotional scars. Scars remind us of where we've been, but they don't have to dictate where we're going. And I heard a story, and if we have time, I'd like to relate it. It was on the AISHH.com, the Jewish website. And they were talking about this man that he had a family, had children. And he decided he would go for a trip to another area that he could make money, that he could make more money. So he left his family. He left his wife, and he went to this place, and he stayed there for several months. And he really wasn't making enough money for it to be worth him being away from his family. So he got really, really homesick, and he went to the train station, and he asked, he said, do you have a train that goes to this place where I live? And they said, oh, yes, we've got a train. In 1 month it will go there. That's a distant place, but in 1 month, and you can go first class for this particular amount of money. He said, I don't know, though. I got to think about it. So he went back, and 2 weeks later he thought, well, I am really missing my family. And he went to the train station, and the guy said, well, you can go now, but you're going to have to just be just a regular passenger car because, you know, it's the same price, but you're like, it's not nearly as nice. He said, well, let me think about it again. So he left, and he did that a couple of different times, and then finally when he came back and he made up his mind he was going to go, the train was pulling off. And the man had meticulously packed 2 bags. He had all of his things, and he had one bag in one hand and one bag in the other, and he's running down the track. And the conductor sees him and has compassion on him because he's running so hard, carrying his bags, wanting to get on the train, wanting to get back to his family. So the conductor goes back, and he leans over, and he says, drop your bags and grab my hands. And I said, Walt, he said, drop your bags and take hold of my hands. And the man thought about it, and finally he threw them down, and he grabbed hold of the conductor's hands, and he was pulled up on the train. And the message to that is that this very moment, nail-scarred hands are reaching out to a world that will not drop the baggage. They don't have enough wisdom to drop the things that are holding them back from being with the most precious. There's nothing, nothing to compare with the presence of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. The greatest wisdom in the world is drop the bags, reach out, and you'll find that the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ will grasp you and lift you to that place that you can't reach without Him. And that is wisdom.
Amen. That is awesome.
What a wonderful story. Scars remind us of where we've been, but they don't have to dictate where we're going. I love that. I love that. Do we have any more time?
We've got about 10 minutes.
Well, there was another little I thought was really cute. It was, children were asked to finish Proverbs. You know, they gave them the first part of a proverb, and then they told them to finish it. And I hope I got that. But some of it was really, really cute. Because children, you know, our children, and sometimes in the mouth of babes, they can say things better than we can say. There's one thing here about the lack of wisdom in using our words wrong. That a careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreck a life, a timely word may level stress, and a loving word may heal and bless. So that was good.
Yes, it was.
Well, I thought I had that list of the children. But I'm not sure that I do. I obviously don't. So, wisdom, here's some lines that will help us tune ourselves up. When I first learned to sew, we lived on the farm, and because that's where the miniskirt was in, and I didn't, you know, I decided I would learn how to sew, and I could not put a zipper in. I mean, I could not. I put them in sideways, upside down, backwards, whatever. I ripped them out, put them back. And the blessed part about it is my beautiful daughter had hair that hung all the way down her back, and nobody could see it. So I thought, oh,
wow.
It comes from all sources. Okay, God still speaks to those who take the time to listen. God looks not to the quantity of our gifts to him, but to the quality of the giver. Great minds discuss ideas, normal minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. A Christian is a living sermon, whether or not he preaches a word. Conscience is that small, still voice that makes you feel even smaller. I thought that was good. You think, well, that's not wrong, and you think, oh, yes, it is. And when we have done what we can, God will do what we can. I love that. That is definitely good. I wish I could find the one about the children. One of them was, they said, laugh and the world laughs with you. And this little boy said, cry and you have to blow your nose. That was a good way into that, which is true. But I have enjoyed this, and I while Bill was speaking about Daniel was a young man. He was taken into captivity. He purposed in his heart. I think that's such a beautiful way for the Word of God to say he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And when we purpose in our heart that we're going to obey God and walk by his commandments and allow the Lord to take those things away from us, not take them away from us, but show us what they are so that we can give them to him. Like I mentioned before, he doesn't wrestle it out of our hands, but he does deal with us, lead us to the place that we can let go of it. And there's no greater wisdom, no greater freedom than to let go of things that have us bound. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Okay, I was hoping that another lady would call, and she was getting ready for a trip. So I'm going to just share something that she and I had talked about. She's a minister. She's 76 years old. I think she's 75 or 76. And she lives for God. Her daughter is a preacher. Her grandchildren, I think her grandson was here, ministered as part of our program Sunday night. Her grandchildren are part of children's ministry, and they pull together, they pray together, and I want our family, I'm asking that in our family that we begin to pray together and pull together and hold each other up. I know we do to some degree, but she was sharing with me that there are generational curses, that there are things that get a hold of people's lives and they pass it down from one generation to the next generation. But we can break that. God said he was looking for someone like Daniel, someone that would stand in the gap, someone that would pray, someone that would hold on to him, and that's what intercession is to hold on to God while we hold on to a soul, an individual, and pull them together and pray that their eyes will be opened and they'll be delivered from the powers of darkness and serve God with all of their heart. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony that all of us, as we live for God, we begin to pull in, and all of our children and all of our grandchildren begin to live for God with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength.
Thank you. That would be awesome.
This was wonderful. Oh, I found it. It's probably too late. Your parents.
No.
Okay. This child said, he said, an idle mind is, and this little boy said, the best way to relax. It's supposed to be the devil's workshop. Okay. They asked this other one, where there's smoke, there's, and so one of them said, pollution. And the other one said, happy the bride who, and one of them spoke up, gets all the presents. I think it's like probably a penny saved. And one of them said, it's not much. How all he knows. Don't put off till tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. Don't put off tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. What? The wolf and the whole will last with you. This is the one. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Children should be seen and not bank around it. If it forced you down to speed, get new batteries. Get out of something for you, put it on the box. When the blind leads the blind, get out of their way. That's sad. But anyway, that was the last one. On an amusing note.
I have a friend that has a little boy. He's 5 or 6. And he was wanting to play in his big brother's room, which was bigger than his. And she asked him why he didn't want to play in his own room. And he said, because my imagination is bigger than that. I just thought that was so cute. It's so funny what, you know, little kids think to say. It's so literal.
Well, that's true. When we lived, it was after I started church in Rhonda, was really small. Mommy Joy and Bill was just probably in the first, second grade. And I was pulling out of the driveway out of our carport, and there were 2 men working up on this big tall pole working on the telephone or whatever. And I don't remember which one of them looked out and said, oh, Mama, Jesus and God. There, you know, that they didn't mean to be smart. That was in their little perception. Oh, my children are wonderful, and mine are the best.
They are awesome.
Thank you again, and I pray that Rob Bill's okay. And if you can hear this, be sure and call us and let us know you're okay, because it worries us when you're on, and then we don't hear from you. But God bless you. And we'll see you next time.
Well, we had a good time tonight, and we really, really appreciate Blog Talk Mom and all her wisdom. Anyway, we thank you for sharing, and maybe Wild Bill will have you back again next week.
We're looking forward to him. I appreciate you reading the verses for me.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you helping me with the show, because I don't believe I could have filled an hour, but I really enjoy doing it with you. And Wild Bill is around somewhere, but he keeps on fading in and out. You know, his call's been dropped. I think he's on his way to Wisconsin. Anyway, our show is over, and thank you so much again, Blog Talk Mom, and we'll say good night.
Have a wonderful night. I love you very much.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.